Don't worry, I'm not gonna hurt you.
Puts the podcast on the iPod or it gets the hose again. This is Kinky and the Geek. Would you listen? I listen hard.
Nice. Nice. And it's actually my turn, but you came up with that. And
yeah.
A thousand times more clever
it just kind
than
of
my bizarre Christopher Guest reference that yeah. Nobody would have gotten.
Right.
So, awesome.
I think, well, if he listened to you, probably, JJ would probably have gotten it.
Yeah, I don't think he does. I think he's got better shit.
Yeah, he's got other things to listen to.
Yeah, a few people would have, but he's not. Christopher Guest isn't necessarily geeky.
But he if you like movies,
yeah,
you tend to.
I don't
this
know.
This stuff he's, is good. Although, at least she didn't like Spinal Tap.
That's not possible.
She didn't like it. She didn't find it.
I don't
she didn't find
it funny.
She watched it by herself.
Yeah. Actually, I love Spinal Tap.
Yeah.
Yeah, actually, you know, we were just talking about it. God, my favorite is Mighty Wind. I love Mighty Wind.
It was kind of nice to see the three of them back together musically in a different form.
Yeah.
It basically shows that, no, they weren't faking with the stuff for Spinal Tap. They actually are musicians.
Yeah, I like the way they... Actually, we saw a clip from it. I was showing it to Phantom, who's never seen it. And, or maybe he'd seen it once, or I don't think he'd ever seen it. And, so we're watching a clip where they're talking about their old recording label and how the records were, they pressed a great product, but you actually had to drill your own hole through the records, and sometimes it'd be a little wobbly. It was really funny.
What you would think, you could see that actually happening with some of these smaller labels.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a great album, but you have to make your own.
And they're talking about instead of printing the cover in four color, they actually printed it in two color. It's just really funny. I love those movies. So, hey, welcome to Kinky and the Geek. I am Flesh Vine. I am the kinky part.
Yes, and I am Mighty Bill. I am the geeky part.
I have kinky parts.
Well, I have kinky parts too.
Yeah,
I'll leave those at home.
Yeah, we all have kinky parts actually.
I don't know. I don't think Barbara Bush has any kinky parts.
No, or Sarah Palin. No, you wish she did, but no, she doesn't.
No, I could see her strapping on some thigh high boots and dominating the husband.
No, I don't want to. I don't want to. I'd rather not. Yeah, in fact, I just got a text from Scott White as we were walking into the shop. Hey Dom. Hey, Scott. What's going on?
I'm surprised he hasn't made any mentions about our late episode. The latest late episode.
Because
we talked about his ass
a
lot.
Yeah, that's right. I don't know.
Unless he hadn't listened. He may be one of those people. Because I have noticed there are people, what they'll do is they'll build up a wad and then listen to them all at once.
Wow, really?
Yeah, I went
really?
There.
Yeah. Okay, go to you.
Yeah.
Go to you. Yeah.
I only do that with one.
Uh-huh.
And that's the Erotic Awakenings. I tend to always end up...
See, mine always are like that. I mean, I you know, because I just never get to listen to anything ever.
Right.
Ever. God, and there's so many good ones. I actually started downloading some new ones on writing. Something I'm really interested in right now. And I've been thinking I want to start downloading some paranormal ones. I used to download... one called Mysterious Universe, and it was Australian by a guy named Benjamin Grundy.
Right.
And he would talk about cryptozoology.
That must have been
and
Solomon's brother.
You what?
Solomon Grundy is a DC villain.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
I don't think that has anything to do with it, but thanks, Bill. But actually, that's a really good one. And he talks about like alien abduction and things like that. It's really cool. And there's one called 13 Skulls. It's done by this guy, I want to say he's in Texas or Virginia, one or the other. And he sounds like a frat boy.
Right.
Okay, he just totally sounds like a frat boy, but he finds these really interesting stories, and he'll get himself, he's not a skeptic.
Right.
He's one of those guys that believes everything. And so he's like, and he'll get so hyper about these stories that he's finding. And And they'll just take it like an extra level. So
there's actually a new sci-fi show you would like if you're interested in any of the cryptozoology stuff. It's called Beastmaker.
Okay.
And it's basically a group of computer animators. And we saw the first episode was actually on the Kraken, and they were actually going around. With the, you know, they had their basic myth and all this to actually build a 3D model of a Kraken. So they went to New Zealand because they actually have the largest.
They just found an excuse to go to New Zealand if they were smart.
No, this was actually, they've got the body, they're the only ones that have the body of the, of one of the large squids, because like the giant squids. I think this one's larger, and this one they actually were able to, when they got it, when it came to the top, it was still a little bit alive.
Oh, so they could study it a little bit more.
So there's video of it to where
everything.
Yeah.
Have you ever, like, there was a show I watched on TLC or something at one point. About the Humboldt squid.
Right. Well, they were talking about how aggressive squids can be.
Yeah, they can be nasty.
That was because they first went to the octopus, and they basically, for the Kraken, they merged a squid and octopus together to get the look.
Okay.
Because I think the octopus is smarter. Mm-hmm. I think they said it's actually got a bigger brain.
That makes sense. I think.
The tentacles move differently.
Yeah.
But the squid's more aggressive. It's got the beak. It's actually got two arms.
The octopus has a beak too, but it does make sense because the squid, it's got like.
But it's got two. It's got two of the tentacles that are especially for grabbing the prey.
Right. Right. Well, yeah, and then octopi. I think are fairly solitary, whereas squid will travel in big groups.
And they also, octopi will also hide. Yeah, they will camouflage themselves and attack.
This is totally a podcast for Lee BC and...
we were watching this. Yeah. It was like, those two would love it, because what's cool is as they're building, as they're going all over the place, because they actually go on an actual sailing ship to get an idea, you know, of how long the tentacles would have to be able to reach the top mass of an actual sailing vessel, and you know what it would need to be, and you know, so they actually went through all this different thing to get actual measurements and to get what it would really be in real life.
Cool.
And go into areas where this looks like this would be the place where the Kraken would live because it's really deep and be easy to hide and all that kind of stuff. And as you're doing this, you'll see like a group of tentacles come out of the water as they're walking somewhere.
Nice.
Or you'll see the head kind of break the surface and go back down.
Cool.
So you can see where they've been animating stuff throughout there. And I think they'll do it, I think it's on Thursdays, but of course you'd have to go
to
sci-fi.com most likely.
Yeah.
Or Hulu, one of the two. I wouldn't be surprised if on one of those two.
Yeah.
And I think this week is Dragons.
Okay.
So.
Yeah, honestly, cryptozoology isn't necessarily my thing, but that was kind of a couple years ago when podcasts were first coming out and you just looked for something interesting.
Right.
Now there's, you know, Jesus, you can't swing
a cat. Anybody with a computer and a microphone.
Mic and opinion,
But
yeah, there's actually, I don't remember which of these it was. I used to listen to an EVP podcast.
Right.
I'm sorry, I listened to one because it scared the piss out of me. And then I played it for my mom and she's like, God, that's eerie. Like, everybody agreed. It was universally just fucking eerie, so never listen to that one again.
Unlike the movie White Noise that made me pissed off.
Why?
I hated that movie.
Really?
I did not like it at all.
Oh, man, I loved it, and it terrified me.
In fact, it sucked because the sequel has Nathan Fillion in it.
And the blonde girl from Battlestar Galactica.
Right.
The human, not the Cylon. Right?
Yeah, she was... Yeah. No.
Did it turn out that she was a Cylon?
No.
Okay.
I forgot what she ended up being.
Okay.
That was one of the things where the end of the show was like...
Yeah.
The season finale.
Well, it Actually, that one was okay, but it wasn't nearly as good as the first one. I fucking loved the first one.
Yeah.
Because it was just, again, I like a movie that sets an atmosphere, and it set an atmosphere, and I was just, I was cold and shaking the whole time.
I was, by the end of the movie, I was just sitting there going,
why?
I don't know what, I couldn't tell you because I wiped it from my mind. Okay. I just remembered I disliked it a lot.
Okay.
Everybody else, I think, oh, yeah, it was really good. I hated that movie.
I love that movie. Yeah, I'd like to see that, actually. I wonder if that's on Netflix. I may have to check that out. White noise. It's getting to be that kind of that season. We were just at Barnes & Noble.
Yeah,
and they have all their vampire, werewolf, zombie, ghost stuff out. So yeah,
I'm itching right now. Awesome. It's like, I almost put a Twitter out last night going, okay, how early is it? How soon can I put out my Halloween decorations without it being too early?
Yeah, I think now's fine. You know, we're moving into fall.
Everybody, I may wait a little closer.
Yeah.
Because I know there are so many people that start putting their Christmas shit out on on Thanksgiving. So
yeah, I don't know. Now that Phantom's down here, I've had all these Halloween decorations that I've just kind of put away. I mean, I used to put like black lights out on the porch, on the front porch, the strings of black light.
Right.
I'm kind of feeling like I might want to do that again because I actually like my house now that he's there. it's been a while.
Yeah.
That would be kind of fun. Yeah, I've got boxes of Halloween shit.
Yeah, we'll normally go and hit Spirit because it's one of those stores. Spirit and Halloween Express are those stores that just pop up around Halloween time and then close down, and usually the day after Halloween they'll have like 50% off of everything. We'll go and put some more up
because
I've got some like shrunken what is it, they looked really good. We had two. It was basically pirate, it's like pirate gating.
Okay.
It was like two shrunken pirate heads on stuts.
Oh, nice.
On stakes with a chain going, so you can make like a link. And we bought another set of those.
Yeah.
So we'll have more, and I just need to get off my ass this year and put them out.
Yeah, it's again, hard to remember to do it though.
No, just lazy. Not.
Well, I mean, it is. It's a lot of fucking work. I mean, I haven't decorated for Christmas since. I didn't do it last year. I didn't do it the year before.
Yeah, I don't even.
It's been a couple years since I've decorated for Christmas.
Did we put up our tree? Yeah, we did put up our tree last year, but I think we just put lights on it. But then again, we have a cat that does like
that will destroy.
So and plus going through the office, you know, cleaning up the office and getting stuff, we know where all of it is.
Right.
So we have all this stuff, so we can just put our hands on it this year.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, I know where mine is. It's just a question of pulling it all out. And,
right.
And then it's always depressing to take it back down. And,
yeah.
You know. Yeah, which actually Phantom's really into Christmas.
Which you want to try to
take really into Halloween. He's really into Christmas.
Yeah, so. With Halloween, you kind of don't want to leave the severed heads hanging from the thing too long.
Depends on your decor. I have skulls everywhere. If you look at my
living room. I'm talking about on the outside.
Oh,
the
yeah, board. then.
Because we've got a pirate severed head and a vampire severed head. We may have another one, too. You don't want to leave those out too long.
Yeah, neighbors get a little pissed.
Because, see, I'm the type of person, and that's why I like going to, like, Spirit and not, like, dealing with Job One, which we do get the Halloween stuff. But they get all the cutesy Halloween stuff, and I want all, like, the scary Halloween stuff.
Yeah, totally. I want, the more gothy, the more I can make myself, my house look like a vampire castle.
Right.
You know, not necessarily body parts, but just eerie and dark and, you know.
Right.
You know, I like that stuff. So.
Yeah. I've never liked the happy ghost, the smiling little round-headed vampire child.
I hate that shit. Yeah. I don't go for cutesy and hardly anything.
Yeah. I can handle it more with Christmas because that seems to be more of a Christmas thing.
I still like grown-up Christmas. I like pretty snowflakes and things like that that are, you know, made of glass, spun glass or something like that with glitter, you know, but not fat little stupid snowmen with marshmallow. I hate that shit.
Merry Christmas!
if it's cutesy, I just...
But see, it doesn't get on my nerves as much as Halloween because Halloween's supposed to be a scary where, you know, Christmas is more the happy, fun time. And so the cutesy stuff doesn't get, I won't get it, but it doesn't get on my nerves because that's what you expect from a Christmas.
Yeah, it drives me crazy anytime. I'm really picky. Used to piss my ex off all the time because she was so into Charlie Brown.
Right.
I fucking hate Charlie Brown. Yeah, I don't care. Your little bottom lower lip means nothing to me. But she always wanted to put out Charlie Brown Christmas and Tigger in a Santa hat, and I'm like, can we just have like fucking grown up Christmas once? Seriously. Just with like a pretty, like, well put together tree. Yeah, and I'm one of those people that likes not necessarily a theme tree. But I want shit to match. I'm not, you know, if I made it with popsicle sticks in the second grade, give it to mom, she'll appreciate it. I don't need it, you know.
That's one of the days there was actually an ornament my mom had that now that she's passed, I kind of wish I could have gotten it from her, but it, of course, of all the crap that happened around the time she got really bad sick and all that. It was, and for like the late 70s elementary school thing, this was actually pretty, and this is how long ago, they were ceramic ice cream cones.
Okay.
That they put the child, you know, like the school picture, the headshot, in the ceramic.
Okay.
It was like real heavy duty, and we've had it for, you know, we're talking little Bill.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, baby Bill.
Yeah, well, this was Charlotte. Mm. So we're talking anywhere between, it was kindergarten or first grade, was in a Catholic school. Mm. So it's somewhere between the second and the fourth grade, maybe?
Yeah, my mom did this thing. Mom was, until she had to go back to work and get an Uber job, she really, like, went overboard, like, apeshit with the mom stuff.
Right.
Not for show, but just because she genuinely wanted to do these things. In the first grade, she was into cross-stitch. You know, all the mommies were into cross-stitch at that time.
Right.
And, she actually made a little round ornament. It was like a little frame.
Right.
With a little cross stitch, like a bell or a poinsettia or a stocking or something, with each student's name on it for like my class of like 25 people.
Bam.
I was like, yeah, Jesus Christ, go mom.
Yeah, my grandfather was the one, they all live tree. In fact, I remember one year he actually had a live tree that still had the root system.
Yeah.
And had a hole.
Yeah, we did that one year.
Had a hole dug because they were leaving for something, like the day or two after. So they were taking the Christmas tree down on Christmas and planting it.
Yeah. That's cool.
Before he left for That's their trip.
Yeah. Well, yeah, we did that once with a hemlock, but any pine or... what are the main ones? The fir or cypress? I am so fucking allergic to. I actually helped my ex-boyfriend a long time ago. We got a tree for one of his friends and helped her get it into her trailer.
Right.
My tongue swelled up. I stopped breathing. Like, they had to find me Benadryl. Because I had gotten, like, the sap all over me and everything.
Right.
Trying to carry it. So we never had live trees.
Right.
So.
Yeah, we have a fake tree right now. Yeah. In fact, I'm actually contemplating maybe this year, this being the last year, because we got it secondhand to begin with, and maybe around Christmas time when the tree, after Christmas, when all the stuff goes to 70-80%, go and get a cheap tree, throw that one out. And,
yeah. It is really so cool picking out a Christmas tree together. Because it is, it's personal. It's like saying we're going to be together next year. And my Christmas tree I actually picked out with my ex, you know. But it's, I have a beautiful Christmas tree and I love that tree.
That's actually our, the autographed picture we got at Dragon Con is the, I guess this means we're going to have to stay together because we got, they had the three warehouse 13 people that were at Dragon Con.
They did
a group photo at Dragon Con together and then had them printed out and each one of them had them at their thing for sale. And she went and got Sal, the guy who plays Artie, to sign in her name. I got Eddie McClintock on mine to sign my name, and then we had Tia Carrera make it out to both of us.
That would be an ugly fight.
Yeah.
You're like cutting out pictures.
Yeah. Honestly, I could see myself going, no, you keep it.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you know, if it's got a memory attached, and it just depends on the breakup. I mean, you never know how they're going to go. You know, you may have the best of intentions, and then it just falls to shit. Yeah, which, you know, it's kind of funny. I've actually been thinking about this because, never mind. It's all just weird personal crazy shit.
Right, and we need to keep this up. We don't need to go down to that dark spot.
Yeah, my father just passed, so I'm thinking about a lot of shit that I, you know, wouldn't ordinarily be thinking about, so.
Yeah, and with my grandfather passing almost a couple of days, four days after your father.
Yeah,
I found out on Facebook.
Week.
Yeah. I found out mine on Facebook, though.
Oh, that sucks.
Well, I think the girl that told us didn't know our phone number.
Oh, okay.
And I don't know why no one tried to call it that night at our house, because we were at home. At least I think we were. But yeah, I happened to go. I was at CVS, went to lunch, and was just doing what I normally do, checking my Facebook stuff, and there was a message from my cousin saying that he had passed in his sleep.
Yeah. We actually were there with my dad, which sucked. It's a whole other separate type of sucky.
Yeah.
Two different types of sucky.
I don't...
Let's talk about something else.
Yeah, okay. Do we want to hit the question, or do you want to do the game?
Yeah, actually, we got such a good question from DS. Hey, cutie. Still trying to flirt with him like mad. He is so fucking cute.
I don't have anybody to flirt with.
You tried. You did try.
A little bit. That was more playing. That really wasn't flirting.
Yeah.
Okay. Someone asked, and I guess I think actually probably pointed in our direction
Who's cute, super cute, but she just kind of came from out of nowhere, and the flirting ensued, as it does, you know.
I still wouldn't really call it flirting, because it started off just being I was basically playing with her and Aston.
She said something about, don't let me take the strap to you, young man. I'm like, dude, you got the wrong person.
Yeah, but I think that was her telling me to back off, so I backed off.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. She's young.
Yeah.
Whatever the thing is. Right. She's young, so.
Yeah, don't mind me. I've been in kind of an unsexy mood today, so.
Don't be in an unsexy mood. You should always feel crazy. You know, this for me, like, you know, we had the talk. You're like, something about me wearing Phantom out with all the sex.
Right.
He's sick in a separate way now.
Right.
There hasn't been a lot going on between Dad passing away, Dragon Con, funerals, moving him. Both of us getting, you know, a sinus infection that we thought was no big deal that turned into a week-long fucking nightmare. And now he's at home with a stomach bug. Not a lot of hot fucking. A little bit of hot fucking. We work some in. Don't get me wrong. But, yeah, it's not been the sex fest that it, you know, would have been otherwise. Okay, first question from DS.
Did he send two?
He wanted to know.
Oh, well, this was once and he...
Sorry.
Right, he sent one, but it was actually a two-parter.
Yeah, well, it's he wanted to know what our favorite colors were.
Oh, that was a different thing.
Yeah. I know, but I said I would ask you online.
I said, I told him.
What is it?
Blue.
Okay.
Well, I told him that because I had added, because I look good in red, and I don't really have much blue that I wear, but blue's always been one of my favorite colors.
Okay.
And black isn't a color.
Yeah.
Black is absence of color.
Or all colors together, depending on if you're looking at light versus pigment.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
White would be absence of color. Black would be all.
Well, no, light is all colors if you're looking at light. If you're looking at a computer screen.
Right.
I know this because I took graphic design and shit. If you look at a computer screen, the parts that are white are a combination of the red, the blue, and the cyan all shining at the same time.
Oh, okay.
Which creates white. But if you're looking at pigment, you know, where you're painting something onto a piece of paper, all colors, they're really kind of a dark brown. But, you know, it's neither here nor there. Anyways, that was my little factoid for the day. I turned you on, didn't it? I could tell. I could tell. You look like you're in awe. Yeah.
Sorry, doing the more you know.
Exactly.
Or as what was it, Attack of the Show? Mm-hmm. As you've been learned.
Mm-hmm.
And they have the little, okay. What they do is they have the little rainbow, the More You Know has a little shooting star, where theirs has a little shooting star that runs into a Zeppelin and blows it up and you hear screaming. So as you've been learned.
For the record, my favorite is green. I like green. Vine.
Yeah.
I like nature and shit.
Well, you also like purple, so.
Yeah, I like actually purple and green together. Or purple and or green and brown together, but yeah, I just okay. Second question, the one that really counts. I just told him I would ask you on.
But I had responded before. I think before you said you were going to
talk. I know, but I told him I would ask you, so I asked you. Just relax. Go ahead. This is awesome. What types of furniture would be in your ideal dungeon? And if you could have one toy minus the violet wand, Bill,
I already have that.
What would it be?
You want me to go first?
Sure.
Furniture-wise, the only thing that screams to mind right offhand is a St. Andrew's cross.
Okay.
Because it's the only one I've used. Mm-hmm. It's just... I would love to get a portable one to take to, like, con and stuff.
Yeah, it's kind of not a good thing to make portable. It kind of needs to be real sturdy.
They do that with... Well, how do you think they get it from dungeon to dungeon?
They build it there. Usually, I mean, it's kind of... The way it's built, it's hard to make one that you can take apart.
Well, they do it with what are they called? They do the playroom at Frolicon. The Satanic Mechanic, I think is what they call it.
I don't know. They're also easy to build. So they may actually just build one every time.
No. I think they actually have ones that kind of fold up.
They may. Yeah, I'm just saying, it's kind of, because I've looked into, I've actually spent some time researching how to build dungeon furniture. I was going to do my basement, my garage as a full-on dungeon. I mean, that was always my goal. Phantom's not a pain slut.
Right.
There's not a lot of wailing on him or, cutting him or doing that sort of thing. It's just not his thing, which is fine. I have no issues with that. So there's not a lot of call for it. However, the one thing I have always wanted, I actually scened with a boy, my ex-girlfriend and I, scened with this one boy. You met her. Okay, so they had this, it was at a local, kind of a private dungeon where you paid like $50 an hour,
right.
And which he paid for. The course, fucking privilege, obviously. He did not deserve that. He did not deserve that honor that gave him to do that. Anyways, they had a winch, like a mechanized winch with a remote, where it had a bar that came down with eye bolts all along, so you could.
Yeah. That's called something. I can't remember. Yeah, right. It's so, like a crossbar or something like that.
So that was just one piece of furniture there, but that's not what I would have in my
right.
Dungeon. After that, we put him on a spanking horse.
Yeah.
Which also, if it's the right height, is a brilliant fucking horse. So that was his first experience with the strap-on. So I like little versions. Spanking / fucking horse is absolutely on my list.
Right.
Preferably one that I could get behind the boy and actually be up on the horse.
Right.
But also, with bondage points for wrist and ankle cuffs.
Right.
And a collar and a leash. That would be on my list. As well as, actually, do you remember when we went to our local big dungeon? The big cube, the bondage cube? It's kind of, they built this huge box and then reinforced it with all kinds of metal.
Is that the spiderweb thing? They had where they were doing the okay.
No, it has all these bars across the top.
It doesn't ring a bell.
Kind
right
of
all.
Across, in a checkerboard, squared off mesh. Okay.
Okay.
But not fine. I don't know what the fuck I'm talking.
Yeah. I know. I remember the, of course, the crosses they had. I remember the like spider web, the metal spider web thing.
Well, this
and the suspension.
Yeah, well, what this is.
Where they had
they call it either the box or the cube.
Oh,
and it is a huge cube that's all reinforced and nice, where it's got bondage points all over the thing, and it's just this huge is maybe 8 feet by 8 feet. So you can get in there, you can tie someone up, you've got room to move around. Bondage points all over the place, so you can tie however the hell you want to, and it's used mostly for rope.
Huh. I just done.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of people tied up there, and I would love to build one of those. So that would be my other thing.
Okay.
Yeah. What about you? What about your toy?
I've always wanted the Buffalo Flogger, and I bought one of those. Mm. Buffalo skin.
Yeah, floggers are always good. They're kind of... Nobody doesn't respond in some way to a flogger.
Right. Yeah. And, well, I just wanted something other than just cow.
Yeah.
And it was cow like leather, and this was going for the more... You know, with the buffalo, you're going for more thud than sting.
Right.
In fact, I think it, unless you do it a certain way, it's almost all thud.
Right.
Honestly, I don't know right offhand because I've gotten...
It's a tough question.
Because I've gotten everything that I kind of like. And maybe, she didn't respond well to that. Mm. Although I didn't. I was looking some of Aruka's cousin's pictures. And she had one picture where they had the toys laid out. Because she was actually had pictures of what her boyfriend had done to her.
Okay.
And then they had the toy laid out. And they actually had a metal... paddle with the holes in it, and I just thought that would go really good with the violet wand.
Yep, totally. It's really hard to narrow it down to one thing.
I think I'd have to get exposed to a little bit more because everything that I've been exposed to, I've gotten something of. You know, you gave me
expose yourself, Bill.
hold on, let me go to the window. There's no one out there right now. Yeah. now I just got it's me Quagmire. Yeah, stuck in the window this time.
Nice.
Because you know candle wax. Although we still haven't used them yet, but you gave me the candles. Mm-hmm. I got the violet wand.
Yeah,
I've been exposed to the floggers, and I got like 3 different floggers.
Yeah,
paddles, the carpet, you know, carpet beater.
Right.
I'd have to find something else that kind of...
That excites you as much as the violet wand.
Or at least something new. I mean, I can't think of anything else because you're getting into other stuff that I'm not really... That's a little past what I really want to get into. Yeah.
That's my thing. That's why it's hard for me to narrow it down, because I go in phases where at one point I was absolutely med-fet. I needed to be puncturing some skin to be happy, where it was needles and staples.
But you've gotten that stuff now.
Yeah, and now it's like Phantom's not into it, and I don't get the energy feedback from him, so I don't get the rush from it.
I could think of one thing that I could see you want, and that would be tens unit. You have talked, ever since we met, you've been wanting...
Wanted a tens unit. Yeah. Oh. Yeah, that's... Because that needs to go back on my list.
You wanted the sound. Well, that was one of the ones you wanted, was this the...
Well, and you could use that in conjunction with one of my favorite things that I have been really hopped up on, which is rope.
Right.
Everyone gets a little hopped up on rope at some point. I think it's kind of a rite of passage.
I don't think I've really... I've not played with rope yet. Yeah. So I've gone to a rope class, but I really haven't played.
Yeah. It's... I actually did a lot of learning, and I can do a mean dragonfly sleeve...
Right.
And I can do just binding ankles and wrists and, you know, tying 2 beds. But I haven't gotten into, like, a lot of the pretty stuff. But rope's always fun because you can combine it with so many other things. Actually, one of my favorite things when I was playing hard was webcam. To put a boy on webcam and make him put on makeup, you know, where other people could see him, like somewhere on alt.
Right.
Where it was humiliating. God, that's fucking hot.
Well, in conjunction with the, I would like to get more for the violet wand.
Mm-hmm.
One is trying to find steel wool.
Yeah, which we were going to try to do today, but we kind of ran out of time.
And the other is they actually have a site that is making Pyrex insertable.
Oh, yeah.
For the, I'd like to explore that a little bit more. Some more different things, you know, because the great thing about the violet wand is with the contact probe, it's endless. Like I said, with the metal paddle, that would be really interesting to every time.
There's always some new way to grow with it.
Yeah.
And actually, did I show you, there's a link off of FetLife for rope that has copper filaments braided through it So you can tie someone up and then hit it with a violet wand?
Oh, no, I hadn't seen that one.
That looks awesome.
Go to Stockroom. They actually have one where they're talking about the violet wand where someone had made the done the same thing with a single tail.
Okay. Yeah, okay.
So you...
I think we talked about that, actually.
Yeah, we have. Yeah, I don't know if you've seen the video, but yeah, the guy... And his violet wand, he actually has a switch on the fucking wand. The wand actually has an on-off switch.
Didn't our friends... I want to see his head a switch...
I don't think so.
I'm trying to remember. He never talks on Twitter anymore. I cannot remember his Twitter ID. God damn it.
Yeah, I know who you're talking about, but...
Son of a bitch.
A.
Anam Cara's boyfriend.
Boyfriend, master,
what
sadist.
What the fuck was his name on Twitter? They moved on
Darkson?
To WoW. Darkson, good one. They moved on to WoW. They have no time for Twitter anymore because they're WoW addicts. And who can blame them, honestly? I'd probably give up Twitter for EverQuest, so...
Now it's, Now everybody's doing the new Halo Reach.
Okay.
Everybody who has been playing Halo Reach has been just
freaking out over it.
Cheeky Monkey, one of our friends, guy who does the first night Fez.
Okay.
He got no sleep he actually took a nap so he could go get his at midnight.
Oh, sweet.
On Tuesday, and I don't think he slept that entire night.
Oh, nice.
I've done a few people like that. A friend of mine, he actually called out work the when Doom 3 came out. He actually went Tuesday night.
Yeah.
You know, midnight, Tuesday morning, and got...
I called out of work not necessarily when new expansions were out for EverQuest, but just if I was doing really fucking well and I was leveling really well, I was just like, I'm staying here. What the hell?
You know, I don't think I've ever called out of work because of a video game.
Oh, wow. That's so sad for you, actually. You're so responsible.
I have done mental health days.
Yeah.
Where it's like, I just...
Well, I mean, it is a mental health day. It was just a mental health day revolving around EverQuest.
Right. You know what's sad is where I heard the first time calling in, you know, mental health day is a Olsen Twins sitcom. It wasn't Full House. But it was once they hit, like...
Pre-teens?
Either pre- or mid-teens.
I vaguely remember some show that they
were... Where they had the twins with the father, and they had a nanny, or a babysitter that would come in and deal with them.
Okay.
And they called in, you know, calling in a mental health day.
Nice. Okay, but back to favorite toys.
Okay.
Because, you know, I'm tempted to say my floggers as well, my two suede floggers... that I have always wanted to learn Florentine with and just never have.
I know I'm not coordinated enough. I'd be smacking myself more than I would be whoever I was doing it.
I'm good with one, and the second one just kind of throws me. God, because I want to answer this. I want to answer it. I want to come up with my favorite toy.
Well,
I guess my strap-on. I guess that would be my favorite because it sees more action.
Oh, I thought he meant... Okay, I thought he... What new? Besides the violet wand, I thought it was what toy would you want, not favorite toy out of the...
If you could have one toy minus violet wand, what would it be? I think he means like in your dungeon.
Oh.
If you had to choose one toy. Strap-on. Strap-on fucking bench.
See, I'm not going to be able to... It would have to be the violet wand because I know Alicia likes a range
of sensations. And you can get that with that one.
Yeah, Mr. Pain Stick, I guess. The little whatever it is in conjunction with my hand.
I have one of those, and I think I swatted Phantom with it at one point. And he was like...
Don't do that again.
Why?
Yeah.
Yeah, cause, again, not Pain Slut.
Yeah, I've done that. I did that once to E, when the girl, the roommate you met at Dragon Con.
Yeah.
But I just hit it with her. I didn't warm her up or anything.
Yeah.
But then at one Frolicon, she's bent over and, you know, she's packing some very large cleavage. And I just started lightly slapping her boobs with the riding crop. And she seemed to really enjoy that.
Nice.
So.
Nice. Yeah, she was so sweet. I liked her a lot.
Yeah. Very Southern.
Yeah, extremely. Which is awesome.
Yeah.
I love a good, rich Southern accent. That's crazy for me. It's really good.
She'll actually go into detail on the difference between Georgia and Tennessee Southern accents. Were you in the room when she was doing that?
No, she kind of hit on it, but my stepmom is from Tennessee, and it is an extremely... I can hear someone from Tennessee and be like, Tennessee.
Mm-hmm.
You know, although it's funny, I had a couple come in from Alabama today, and I could have sworn they were South Carolina.
I was going to say, did they have their fingers up their nose?
No, no. But they sounded so much like my uncle, who's from South Carolina.
Right.
That I really, really thought that they were. So I'm faulty. Although, actually, have you ever heard Phantoms? He tried to do a Southern accent.
I think I heard it once, but he comes off like Foghorn Leghorn.
Yeah, it's Texas. Yeah. It's absolutely Texas. Yeah, it's hilarious. He does try.
Yeah.
He does try. So, yeah, so those were our answers.
Yeah.
What else we got?
You were going to talk about games.
I listened to the podcast that we recorded last time. We had already played Zombies.
Right.
And mentioned that we loved it, which we do. We had already played the Back to the Future card game.
Right.
We keep dragging Flux and Monty Python Flux, and we actually just bought Shea Geek.
Right.
And we keep dragging those with us everywhere.
But don't play it.
Yeah, we just haven't taken on learning it. We've both been sick. We haven't had like the mental acuity to do anything.
At some point, I'm going to break down and get myself a Settlers of Catan.
Yeah, we did see it at a.
At Barnes & Noble.
Yeah, Barnes & Noble.
So I really like that game.
Yeah, I've never played it.
It's really, it's an interesting, it's a strategy game with, it's like kind of like a Civilization game, but not nearly as complex and time-consuming.
Okay.
It could take a while to play, but, because there are expansions to it.
And
you can add seafaring stuff.
Okay.
But there is the quick game you can do, too.
Okay. Now we got we had talked about Carcassonne, which is very similar, and we did play that and found that fabulous. Although I think Phantom won.
Which means you hate it.
I hate it. I hate that game. Stupid game. And then I had mentioned also last week Hecatomb.
I don't remember that one.
It's okay. We've done a little bit more research. We still don't know what the fuck we're doing with it.
Right.
It's like a Magic style game. The reason why we don't know, we probably would have figured out how to play that one, but you each have to have your own deck.
So it's like we only bought one. So it's like Pokemon Magic and Yu-Gi-Oh!
Exactly. Yeah. So we had to wait until we had the cash to order him a set.
So that's why I like Magic and I think Yu-Gi-Oh! And I want to say Pokemon do too. They have starter packs to where you can get two people.
Yeah, actually the starter decks, because this was discontinued in 2004 or 2006, you can get a starter deck on Amazon for 71 cents.
Oh,
plus
okay.
Like $4 shipping.
Right.
But for a 40-card starter deck, the art is beautiful on these cards. It is gorgeous. And what it is they're 5-sided cards.
Oh, I remember you saying something on Twitter about this.
Yeah, based on mostly on Lovecraft, but there's also like Aztec and just different things added
in.
They're 5-sided cards. One side of the 5-side has something printed on it. The other 4 sides are clear because they're done on plastic.
Right.
Which is why they were discontinued, because the plastic was apparently really costly to produce.
Right.
You know, when petroleum went up and everything. So what's cool about that is you can lay down a card. I don't know exactly how it works, but I'm very excited. You can lay one down, but then you can put another one on top of it.
Right.
So you can stack them. So you can read even all the way around if you've got 5 cards stacked. And you can make a badass monster because you're adding all their stats.
Okay.
So it's stackable. The art is beautiful. Cheap as fuck on Amazon. I've caught around. Nobody has it around here.
Right.
So you do have to get on Amazon to get it. Even the boosters, like I bought a whole box of boosters, like 24 booster packs,
right,
for $22.
Okay.
On Amazon, so it's cheap, and it looks really fun and horror based, which I like. I prefer horror based games for some reason. I was actually a little disappointed when Phantom got Carcassonne because I was like, it looks cutesy, and it's not cutesy. It's actually very strategy heavy.
Right.
But I like zombies and haunting houses and. Things like that.
So. And it may not be the fact that it was also expensive to produce, but there was at a time where the collectible card
was saturated.
Was saturated, yeah, because there were so many. Because you think about it, I mean, you know, even adding Munchkin to the mix, because you had Magic, you had Yu-Gi-Oh,
Munchkin's
Pokemon.
Not really collectible,
but Well, then you had Legend of the Five Rings. There's the Star Wars one. I think right. there's a Star Trek one.
Yeah, there are.
There's
a
Buffy one at one point.
Oh, that's right. I'd forgotten about that.
I even think there was a Monty Python, like based on the
Holy Grail.
Holy Grail. Yeah. I mean, there was just there was just
kind of vaguely familiar. Wasn't there a Tolkien?
Yeah, there was probably one.
There was a Harry Potter, actually. Yeah. My ex and I collected all the Harry Potter ones.
In fact, I think I played the Harry Potter one. I think...
Yeah, we tried to play it like twice and just never really got into it.
Yeah, I remember...
We enjoyed collecting them.
My one of my friends, the the sister of the redhead that got up on stage for Bad Tattoo. I think she got it because she's a huge Harry Potter fan. We tried playing it and it was like... Wow.
This, not a great game.
Yeah. No, it didn't play well. Yeah. It's kind of like when Marvel Superheroes first came out with the
RPG.
It was the RPG, but Wizards of the Coast actually used to be something else. Mm. Now I can't remember. It used to be initials. Because it was Dungeons & Dragons. You had Gamma World, Top Secret, Marvel Superheroes. All in the box, like we saw, which is really interesting because they've re-released the original Dungeons and Dragons starter deck.
I know, we saw that at Barnes & Noble. We were so excited.
A starter box, and
that's
it's like...
pretty cool. And it comes with a board and dice and everything
else.
Yeah.
It's basically, it's everything you need to start playing Dungeons & Dragons.
Right. Which is kind of my speed. It's
simpler than trying to do the book, you know. It's a great start.
An intro.
Yeah, because you have very few. It's like human. What is it? Fighter.
It's a gateway drug.
Yeah. I'm trying to remember because you had like fighter, cleric, magic user, elf, dwarf, and those were your classes. I mean, that was everything.
Like elf, dwarf, and human, or something.
Yeah. And it used to come with a very interesting. It was called Keep of the Borderlands, and it was a very basic,
storyline.
Basically woods loaded with kobolds and goblins and all the, you know, all this starter type stuff. Yeah. So you could start playing. Really easy rolls.
Kobolds made their way into EverQuest, actually.
Yeah, I think it's just one of those things where they always,
universal.
Yeah.
Yeah. I found my vampire book, which I had actually lost it.
Right.
And I got I got the Werewolf, the Apocalypse book. And I got Wraith. So I still want to get Mage and Fairy.
Changeling. They also had human books at one point, too.
Well, yeah, it's funny because I forget where I was recently. I may have been over at the Gaming Pit where they still had a lot of Changeling stuff out. Like, they're producing new stuff for Changeling.
Well, I know that White Wolf, you know, they killed off the old line, basically, you know, doing the vampire, the apocalypse, but they restarted the world too. So there is, it's not like they just got rid of everything. They just redid it.
Yeah, I don't necessarily care about anything like that. As far as it's just playable, because I'm not going to go, I'm not going to get so deep into anything that, you know.
Well, I'm just saying, I mean, so the stuff you're seeing may be the new.
Yeah.
The new stuff where, you know, where they've changed up the rules and done all that.
I think the werewolf book that I got is fairly old.
Well, the stuff you have probably is
the
old stuff, right?
Yeah, I got them off of eBay, so I was kind of jazzed to get them. And,
I wouldn't be surprised if you could find a lot of the older, you know, the people who said, oh, fuck it, you know, they've got, it's new White Wolf stuff, let's get rid of all the old stuff and get the new stuff.
Right.
So,
I'm kind of jazzed about that. That's going to be one of these days things.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind doing redoing that, because I had fun when we played. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And when you're doing more than just vampire, it makes the world a little more interesting.
Right.
But yeah, they used to actually
vampire has enough complexity, really, to play it for a while. So.
Right, but when you can throw in actual werewolves and do, like, a whole universe like that, it can be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Because they even had, like, Vampire Hunter. They actually had a whole human portion, too, of books that you could use. So if you wanted to run... Mm-hmm. In fact, they even have a video game, the Vampire the Masquerade. It's like Hunter the Reckoning. That was a book, because you had Vampire the Masquerade, Vampire the Apocalypse. Werewolf the Apocalypse. Yeah. Mage the Ascension.
Wraith.
Wraith the Boogity Boo. A boo. Yeah. Wraith the boo. Ah!
God, I've got the book. I actually just looked at it not that long
ago. And Changeling the
sparkly. Fairy the Changeling.
Okay.
Yeah.
Fairy
Changeling.
Yeah, but it was called Hunters of Reckoning, and they had a whole group. Yeah. Okay. In fact, they had the video game's actually pretty kick ass. In fact, I have it. I think for the PS2.
Okay.
But yeah, you had different groups. Like the Inquisition was actually
human.
Yeah. Well, no, I'm saying the Inquisition was actually a vampire hunting group too.
Okay.
That was kind of where it started. Some too, and not just you know trying to. That was the guise of actually hunting down vampires too.
Okay.
And that was still going on. There's something called Saint Augustine or something like that group or something. Yeah. So there were several different
Sounds like you could work in some neat conspiracy things, kind of Illuminati.
Well, yeah, considering that, you kind of had that going on with the whole masquerade to begin with, was the main clans coming together to kind of hide the fact that vampires really existed,
right?
Because they knew, you know, because you had the two different sides. You had the ones that were all part of the masquerade portion of it, and then there was the Sabbat, who were basically the ones humans are cattle and we should rule, type thing, where everyone was like, you know, it'd be better if we just, because, you know, we have our weaknesses and there are more humans than vampires.
What was the Camarilla?
That's it. The Camarilla was the people that were kind of hiding, and then you had the Sabbat, who were the...
Because
that was, what was it, Ventru, Bruja...
Gangrel,
Nosferatu,
Toreador,
yeah.
Malkavians,
yeah.
There's another one.
That was it. It was Ventru, Toreador, Bruja, Malkavians, I said Ventru.
Tremere,
yeah.
Yeah.
When I ran the one time I actually game mastered one, because everybody seems to try to play the Malkavians as the crazy, where I had the head of the Malkavian clan was a serial killer. He was a sociopath.
Okay, nice.
Yeah, because Malkavians were insane, but
just as crazy.
Basically, based a little bit on Lecter, but yeah.
They were bombers too. Like whenever we played the live action, they would just bomb shit. Like they were extremely intelligent, just very destructive and.
Malkavian?
Yeah, yeah.
And then played because the Malkavians were actually insane.
Play them where they weren't necessarily like full on insane, but they were just destructive and they were anarchists, basically.
That's more Bruja, but okay.
And now it kind of worked.
Okay.
Yeah, it kind of worked.
I was going to say,
The Bruja were kind of the thugs, whereas these were the guys who actually went out and bombed a bunch of shit.
Right. Well, yeah, you usually.
Mad bomber type. You know.
I know with the Bruja, they were. The thing was supposed to be the more. Goth punk, you know, almost street kid-ish.
See, I was...
I'm just going by the way the book tended... Yeah. The books tended to where...
What I loved about the books, and I remember specifically reading, was that the look was kind of... What was it? Cyberpunk. And it was like the first time it was used. Either cyberpunk or goth punk. Gothic punk.
It was more goth punk because I remember if you look at the Bruja
cyberpunk.
If you look at the Bruja symbol, the A in Bruja is the anarchist symbol.
Yeah, all the Malkavians would do that, and it may be the Bruja were setting them up for it. I don't know.
Yeah, I was going to say that just seems like whoever was running that particular live action thing had their own.
My friend was a Malkavian, and she bombed shit.
Because Malkavians, that was one of the things. Is part of it was that the blood kind of drove you crazy, but they tend to pick the people who are already mental to begin with in some shape or form, and it just kind of being brought over just kind of pushed it a little more.
I always played Gangrel, Romany Gangrel. That was always my thing. And I would, I think I've mentioned this, I know I've mentioned this, I would show up to the games. Because I can't role play for shit.
Right.
Know, Well, I might be able to do tabletop, but live action is just beyond me. I'm not an actress.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's more acting anyway.
Yeah. So I would just show up in my long kind of gypsy skirt, wearing like gypsy type things with long claw fingernails.
Right.
Because they do have a lot of animalistic characteristics. And I would bring my tarot cards and do tarot readings. And every once in a while, somebody would be like, okay, tell this person so-and-so in their tarot reading. And I'd start making shit up for the game. But that was like the extent of my skill.
Right.
Yeah. Tabletop, I might be able to... I hope so, because I bought a bunch of shit.
It's so more... there is acting involved, but it's more...
You're not dressing up and...
Yeah, you're not dressing up and having to be in full character the entire time.
Yeah. Yeah, because that's... I have trouble with that.
It's more voice acting than actual...
Yeah.
Acting. That's why I've never done any of the live action role play stuff at Dragon Con. But then again... Yeah. It's
They take their shit really seriously. They're the ones who get together absolutely, you know, twice a week, come hell or high water.
Right.
Cutthroat. Yeah, that's why I would never go to the gaming section and be like, hey, let's play zombies, guys, because I'd be like laughing and cracking and having fun. They'd be like, fuck you.
Just talking live action. I don't think I've ever been in the gaming room. I think the only gaming area I've actually walked through is at Chatticon, but that's because you have to walk through the gaming area to get the beer.
Well, see, I was actually really disappointed that we didn't get to spend any time down there, because we brought, I think it was just Flux that we brought. Because Munchkin, we've got like all the fucking expansions, so that's like, I mean, that's like, you know, 10 pounds of Munchkin.
Right.
So, we just brought Flux, which would have been fun to go play in the gaming area.
But I think that's...
I was kind of disappointed we didn't get to go.
It's in the Hilton now, so I think it's kind of out of the way.
Yeah, but it's kind of nice that it's out of the way. I was thinking that would be a nice respite, you know, for when you're sick of dealing with people. You kind of go down there. You still have a bunch of people, but it's way more calm down there.
Yeah, because I believe the Hilton is now Walk of Fame, gaming, and the more real life, I guess you could say, tracks, because that's where science, that's where robotics, space, skeptics, and something else are all in that particular.
See, that is one thing that I liked, and I'm kind of now, I'm trying to decide if I have regrets about not looking at any of the other tracks, because I didn't even look.
Right.
I knew what I wanted to do, and I looked at those two tracks, and that was it.
Well, you got next year. You could probably expand a little more.
I'll probably still do the same thing, though, because I don't think you can. I don't think you can look at everything, because you'll just be disappointed.
I look at everything just to see what's going on, because if, you know, I try not to stick... I mean, a lot of the stuff I was going to was in X-Tracks, but that's because Need Coffee is attached to the X-Track thing, pretty much, except for when they do, like, the apocalypse stuff and stuff where, you know, I'll go to different things. Although I didn't make it, honestly, I'm trying to think. What other, besides main programming and X-Track, what other, Brit Track. I went into one Brit Track, but that was Need Coffee versus the Hooverse.
Yeah. All my stuff was at the Hyatt, which was actually really nice. And it was two separate parts of the Hyatt. You know, there's the tower and then the main. And so I would have to go up and down stairs and then go walk around. But it was so nice because I knew where I was going.
But see, the nice thing is the way it's set up is because you get to the lowest level and you can connect to the tower. So you don't even have to go up to where all the thing is. It's like if you're in the tower and you have to go to one of the room, you know, one of the lower rooms, you just go downstairs and then walk across because it's all connected at the very bottom. You did not know that?
No, I didn't know that.
Yeah, because you have... Okay, you have...
I was thrilled shitless to find out how to get there through all the ugly.
Because you go... You have the Centennial Ballroom area, or the ballroom area where the smoking area is. Yeah. You go down one where the artist level was, and there was the other stuff that was in there, and there's also, like, a classroom set up where that's where they have, like, the film fest, where they actually have, like, the theater seating.
Okay.
Or lecture hall seating kind of thing.
And there's one down from that even?
And then you go underneath there, and that's where all, like, the Hanover and all that.
Yeah,
a lot of
Hanover.
Small rooms.
Yeah.
But you can go through that, and then on the other side, go up the stairs, and you're going into the tower where International Sound...
Are you fucking shitting me? Because I was on the same level. I could have just walked across.
Yeah.
Damn it, Bill.
Because
will you remind me of this next year?
Yeah. Because where the escalator is in the tower area, often there's like these, like a set, because you can go around, and you can either go around and you hit the escalators immediately or go the other way, and there are like three or four mm-hmm. like small meeting rooms there.
Yeah.
That's usually where the Friends of Bill W. will go. Okay. That's where their stuff. But that's where Brit Track was, in this little room in the mm-hmm. corner. And that's when I started calling the lower levels of hell. But you can go from the tower all the way down and across, and then you'll come up where the art room stuff is.
Okay. Well, now I know.
Yeah.
Now I know. But yeah, no, I would go up through all the mess and all the people and all the fucking costumes.
And then go through the lobby and then go back down.
Yeah, go all the way back down. Okay. Well, that's awesome. Actually,
because you follow that through, because when you come down where the escalators are from the art room, you can either go left or right.
Okay.
And if you go to the right, that takes you to where, like,
See, I don't think I went to the art room itself.
Well, you had the Centennial Ballroom, and then you go down one, and that was another big ballroom, and that's where the Artist Alley art show was down there.
Okay.
Plus, there was I forgot what else. There was some more. It's like as you come down the escalators, you're facing. There's like a little doorway, and there's more rooms in there. But then, if you go off to the right, there's escalators going down to where the Motor Lobby is. And then you go in there, and that's where all these other
were.
Yeah.
Okay. Damn it! Seriously, man, that could have saved me so much insanity just going back and forth and back and forth. Okay. Well, now
because that was also one of the coolest places you could go to when it got too hot upstairs, because there's so many people, you could go down there.
Yeah.
And go to like the video, because that's where the anime and the video room is.
Yeah.
Are there? Those are usually two of the coolest places in there. To where if you're, like, stifling, you go in there and you can usually cool down.
Yeah.
Huh. In fact, that's where I saw... we happened to walk in there because I had not seen Girl in the Fireplace, a Doctor Who episode.
Okay.
And I got to see it there.
Okay. Yeah, actually, I tell you what, it smelled like fish down there, though. It smelled like rotting fish.
Yeah. I know the anime, those two rooms can get kind of
funky.
Yeah.
Hmm.
So.
We're at an hour and a minute.
Okay.
An hour and 2 minutes, actually. Are we done?
I don't know.
Okay.
Do you have anything else you really want to cover right now? And just time for our 15-minute wrap up.
Yeah. I was trying to think of something. It seems like there was. Oh, I gotta remember to say that. And I fuck it.
All right. Your final. Any final thoughts?
I hope Phantom feels better.
Yes.
Because he feels like shit, and I feel really bad. His first couple weeks have been just terrible.
Yeah, well, it's just too much crammed into not even a month.
Yeah. If anyone knows of any really great jobs, like fun jobs, not shit jobs, in Atlanta, give us a yell. Because he is looking. That's all I got. What about you?
No, I think I had something. Some reason I was thinking about the whole not calling enhanced boobs fake, because they are not imaginary.
That's
actually
true.
Real.
That is true.
So why now we I try to go, you know, when it comes to fake boobs, it's the implant. Implants. It's like, is that factory original aftermarket add-on?
Oh, nice. Nice. Huh. Yeah, I just think they're horrible.
It's one of those things where you got the word where the word, you know, I'm not real like a real word person, but when you use something, it's like they're fake.
Yeah.
No, it's not. They're not imaginary. They're
actually
real.
They are real. Real.
They're
synthetic
not
breasts.
Right.
Yeah.
They're not natural.
Right.
But they're not fake.
Right. Right.
They are actually boobs.
Yeah. Yeah. Fair enough.
Which is funny coming from the.
That's food for thought. I'll be thinking about that in the
morning. Yeah, which is weird coming from the guy who's mainly into legs and ass, but.
Yeah.
But I like boobs too.
Oh, boobs don't suck. Boobs don't suck. Yeah, boobs aren't horrible.
No.
Yeah.
It's just a whole package, women.
Yeah.
It's like, what kind of woman are you into?
Yes.
Woman, yes.
Yes.
I like what I like. It was a conversation I was having because I do have an article on WordPress.
Okay.
The kink. It's called the Geek and BDSM.
Okay.
I should talk a little more on my kinky side.
Oh, sweet.
And talking to someone, because it's basically talking about how I want to find someone to play with to see if am I actually a quote unquote sadist, or if it's just the fact that I get off on just get excited with Alicia.
Yeah.
Type thing.
Yeah, like someone who can maybe take some more advanced pain, like needles or something like that.
It's more wanting to know if. Because there are times when I'm playing, as I said in the little thing, playing with Alicia, I'll get aroused.
Yeah.
I want to find out if that's just her.
Right.
And knowing that at some point sex will be involved.
And knowing that you guys have that kind of chemistry and the energy exchange. A lot of times that takes time to build.
Right. But I want to know if it actually, or that. Because that was actually an episode of Erotic Awakenings too.
Okay.
But yeah, I got that. And talking to someone, one of our friends on Twitter, and she was asking what kind of woman I wanted. And I was like, what are you talking about? In general, or part of that thing? She wanted to do both, and it's like, I guess Aruka is your ideal, and it's like, well, no, I just don't really have a type. Right. I like what I like.
Right. Yeah, it's kind of funny, because I was actually talking to about this last night. Phantom is absolutely my type in every way, except for the pain slut way, I think. Because I do get off on the axe, and I could do the axe with somebody else, and may or may not have sex, and it wouldn't be the same. It wouldn't be nearly the same, but I actually get off on doing the pain, so.
Yeah, and that's kind of what I want to explore.
Yeah, I'm just trying to, there's so much involved as far as energy exchange and as far as, you know, all that sort of thing, so.
Yeah, but go and read, comment.
Yes.
I would like a little more feedback on it. I don't think I've had any feedback yet.
Yeah,
which is weird considering all the feedback I got on the Polly.
Yeah.
The little MTV and Polly thing.
Yeah. Well, you know, check us out on just kinkyandgeek.wordpress.com in general. Yeah. Comment on our shows if you'd like.
Yep.
And or a group on FetLife.
Podbean too. If you're going through Podbean, you can leave something there.
Yeah, and we're going to try to, you know, look more. Or remember more and make responses. So.
But then I'll get home and forget that I had seen something, and then I'm getting better about checking our Kinky and the Geek email in case something like that comes up, so we can read and post and
I've got it in my all inboxes on my phone, but just.
It's a case of seeing it on the phone and not being able to go to the site at the time.
Right, and not processing it. And just being like, I'll check that later.
And then
put it aside, and then you don't.
And getting involved in something else, yeah.
Yeah, so. Alrighty.
So, that's it.
You guys be good.
We'll be good at it.
Bye.